The Old Testament prophets, their finest hour was probably the moment when they spoke in faith, as their brave voices spoke up and said, God's going to do something marvelous. 800 years before it would happen, Isaiah would bravely say that a child would come, he would be born, he would be the king. And these brave prophets, their finest hour was probably the fact that they were not afraid to lift their voices up and proclaim what they would not live to see. And yet they proclaimed it because it was thus the word of the Lord. And then we jump into the New Testament and we think of Joseph and Mary, two remarkable people, as the angel of the Lord comes first to Mary and then to Joseph, telling them, as I said early in our prayer time, to not be afraid. And their finest hour was probably that moment that both of them said yes to the Lord. That they said, as Mary said, let it be even unto me as you've spoken. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work, but let this be unto me even if you've spoken. It was her finest hour when she was willing to say yes to the Lord. And to Joseph, as he wrestled with what to do with a wife who was pregnant and he was not the father, having to believe and to trust that somehow God had a plan. It was his finest hour. Joseph doesn't get near the credit, in my opinion, in the Christmas story that he should, about a man of faith and a man of integrity and a man who really shined out and had a fine hour, his finest hour, if you will, that he said yes again to God, that he would raise that child. And then we think of the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, who everyone really despised. Shepherding was one of the lowest jobs you could have on the scale of important jobs. They were looked down upon. They really had no rights, as it were. And yet it was to the angels that, or to the shepherds that the angels appear. And their finest hour, the shepherds, was when they were willing to obey the voice of angels and make their way to Bethlehem and honor the newborn king. And then, of course, we can't forget the wise men who would come later in the story. And yet these magi, these men who had studied the stars and studied the scriptures and realized that a king was going to be born, that a star was going to appear in the east, and they made the decision to not only follow the star and see where that king would be, but also to sacrificially give of their sustenance in order to bless that king. You see, this was their finest hour. It was their finest hour. It was the hour of believing God and trusting in his plan, even though a lot of the things about that plan did not make sense to them. Now, we call it Christmas, but they knew it as the hour to believe God for the impossible. The prophets, Joseph and Mary, the shepherd, the wise men, they all were believing God that the impossible could happen. Now, if it didn't happen, their finest hour would be turned into their foolish hour, when they would be considered fools. But how many are glad God kept his word and they were not fools? Amen? It was a fine hour when they decided to believe the Lord, to believe in the miracle of a baby named Jesus. Their reward was knowing they did the right thing. And I want to tell you, that was an incredible reward, that they did the right thing. We don't hear much about the Magi after the Christmas experience. We don't hear much really about the prophets. Some of them suffered deeply because of their prophecies. Joseph, we don't hear a lot about either after the experience taking Jesus to the temple when he was 12 years old. We hear more about Mary and how she followed the Lord. And we don't hear much about the shepherds either. And yet they had their finest hour. They believed God, and their reward was knowing they did the right thing. And they played their part in the divine coming of Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be Christmas without these personages, right? It wouldn't be Christmas without them. I want to begin by talking, number one, about this, that Jesus was at the center of every one of their finest hour, whether it was the Old Testament prophets, Joseph and Mary, the shepherds or the wise men, Jesus was at the center of their finest hour. Let me read to you from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 37 in your Bibles. And I hope you have your Bibles open. We put them on the screen kind of to help, but I really prefer you to have your Bibles. I'd like for you to have your Bibles open and read it for yourself. John chapter 12, verse 27. The words of Jesus. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. That's all they heard was thunder. And others said, an angel has spoken to him. Others, all they could think that it was possibly an angel. None of them recognized that it was the voice of God except the Son of God. Then Jesus answered and said, the voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. It's the devil. He's going to be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And then John adds the commentary, this he said, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus was at the center of all of these individuals that we celebrate at Christmas at their finest hour. In the film Apollo 13, starring Tom Hanks as astronaut Jim Lovell, in 1995, they portrayed the launch and the takeoff of Apollo 13 that was to land on the moon. But as you know, Apollo 13 was considered a successful failure. A failure in that it did not reach its destination, but they got those men back safely. In one of the scenes in that film, Ed Harris, who plays flight director Gene Kranz, as he overhears two of the officials saying, if we lose those men, it will be the biggest disaster in NASA's history. And Gene Kranz turns to them in the movie and says, excuse me, but I believe this will be our finest hour. We are not going to lose those men. He was determined that it would be their finest hour. And up to that point, it really did prove out to be their finest hour. It was a miracle they got them home. It was a miracle they survived. And so Jesus, the center of the finest hour of the prophets. Think of the prophets for a moment. Think of their voice. Think of prophesying hundreds of years before the prophecy would ever come true. How many prophets today, and I believe in the work of prophecy today, I do. I believe in the office of the prophet even today. Others believe it's phased out, but I believe it's still there. But I wonder how many prophets today would have the courage to prophesy 800 years into the future. How many would prophesy something that they would never ever live to see? That would be very difficult. And yet the Old Testament prophets who prophesied of the coming of Jesus as a baby really stepped out on a limb. You see, people could call them crazy. People could call them fools. People could call them idiots. People could say, well, it's easy for you to say, you'll be dead when this happens. But you know, they didn't care. They heard the voice of God. They heard what God said. They stepped out. And looking back today, it was their finest hour. Amen? Their finest hour, because they chose to speak up for the Lord. They chose to ignore the skeptics. They chose to ignore their fears, and they would speak for the Lord and say that a child will be born, that a virgin will bring forth. Just think of that. Think of that prophecy that we spoke about last week. That when the prophet Isaiah said that a virgin will bring forth a child, think of all the laughter and the scorning that would happen to them. Think of today. Think of today. Now, we know it won't happen again, but think of today. If a prophet said that a virgin is going to give birth to a baby and he'll be the Son of God, can you imagine the humiliation that he would have on all the major news media? Amen? Can you imagine that? He would be on the cover, or she would be on the cover of every magazine at Safeway or Albertsons or Fred Meyer, and especially those magazines that report all of that, that really, like Elvis was an alien and that kind of thing. They would be on the cover of that magazine, and they would have some kind of a snide remark. Think of what it would have cost Isaiah to prophesy those words. And yet he knew in his heart of hearts, he didn't know that his name would be Jesus. He knew his name would be Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He knew that, but he didn't know it would be Jesus. And yet Jesus was at the center of their prophecies. Think of Mary and Joseph as well. Think of the angel coming to Mary, this young girl, and saying, Mary, you found favor with God, and you're going to conceive something in your womb. And she says, how can this be? Mary was a practical woman. She understood the facts of life. She understood that how babies come about. And she says, how can this be? I've not known a man. And I don't understand. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the Most High will overshadow you, and that which is conceived of you will be of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to come and impregnate that seed that is in you, Mary. Now, this young woman didn't know probably all the in and outs of biology, but what she knew is she couldn't have a baby without being with a man, unless it was a miracle. And the angel said it's going to be a miracle. And then her response, the Magnificat, is simply, let it be even as you have spoken unto me. Just let it be. I don't know how it's going to happen. Now, in the movie Nativity, a bird flies over. I don't know how it happened. You don't know how it happened. We don't know when the moment occurred, but we know that the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit impregnated that seed, and Jesus was put inside her womb, and she carried the Son of God. Amen? And then think of her trying to explain to her parents. Think of her trying to explain to her friends. Think of her trying to explain to Joseph. Joseph, I'm pregnant. And I've never been with a man. The Holy Spirit did it. And I can imagine the skeptics. Sure. I could imagine those who were doubters. Oh, yeah, yeah. And what of her parents? We don't see anything of her parents in Scripture, but think of you as parents. What would you have thought had your daughter come and say, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant, but it's not because of a man, it's because of the Holy Spirit. God did this to me. Would you believe her? Would you believe her? Rhetorical question. I don't expect you to answer, but how many know it would be tough to believe that? Come on. It'd be tough to believe it. And yet Mary, Jesus was at the heart of this whole thing. Her finest hour was when she said yes to the Lord. What if Mary would have said no? What if Mary would have said no? What if Mary would have said, not on your life. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that stigma. I don't want that shame. I don't want everything associated with it. No, thank you. You find another virgin. What would have happened? God would have said, oh, man. Now they can't have Christmas down there. What would have happened? I'll tell you what would have happened. Isaiah's prophecy still would have came true. The angel would have found another young lady. He found another young lady. But he didn't have to, because Mary had her finest hour, and her finest hour was when she said yes to the Lord. Amen? And all the sacrifices. And Joseph, we talk of Joseph, his finest hour. He doubted at first. He wasn't sure. The Bible says that he tossed back and forth whether he should put her away, meaning that he would divorce her. Technically, they were married. They couldn't come together sexually for a year during the espousal period, but technically they were married. And if that relationship was cut off, it required a written bill of divorcement. Think of Joseph during that time, struggling. What do I do? What do I do? Should I believe Mary? Should I not? Wrestling with his own fears and anxieties, wondering how is it going to look? Because everybody knows she's my espoused wife, and she's pregnant, and I'm saying, I didn't do it. So what's that mean? Did a Roman do it? Did a neighbor guy do it? You know, what does that put on Joseph if he keeps her? But then again, thank God the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, fear not. Amen? Fear not. Because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And his finest hour was when he said, yes, I'll do it. I'll face the stigma of all the rumors and all of the bad talk. I'll face everything and all of the shame that comes with it. But I'll believe God. It was his finest hour when he said yes to the Lord's plan in his life. And the shepherds. People already think the shepherds are crazy. See, shepherds didn't have a high estimation. Matter of fact, remember in the Old Testament when Joseph came ended up in Egypt, and the Egyptian king, someone advised Joseph and said, whatever you do, don't tell the king that your family that's coming here are shepherds. Don't tell him, because shepherds are abhorred in Egypt. Well, you see, the shepherds of Jesus' day weren't thought of much better than that. It was the lowest of low. Think of the lowest occupation. Who's that guy that did that show about those dirty jobs? What was his name? Mike what? Mike Rowe. Dirty jobs. And I saw him do a few of those dirty jobs before. And one of them was on a farm. And I can't believe the guy. Well, anyway, I won't go there. But anyway, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it. That's what the shepherds were. No one considered the shepherds. They didn't have a voice. And yet the angels appeared first to the shepherds. Maybe it's because Jesus was going to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? Maybe that's why. Or maybe it was the fact that the shepherds never got any respect. And they were the lowliest of the low. And maybe that's why the angels appeared to the shepherds, because God wanted them to know that in God's sight, they were precious and valuable. Amen? They were precious and valuable too. And it doesn't matter your occupation. And their finest hour, in my opinion, was when they heard the angelic hosts saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And immediately the shepherds headed towards Bethlehem. Without doubt, without question, without saying, this can't be. They just headed that way. Their finest hour was when they believed the voice of the angels that said, go and see the Christ child. And then the wise men. I'm always intrigued by the wise men. I didn't look it up this morning, but they were a long way away from Bethlehem. And they would probably come just before Herod would give the edict of killing the infants. So somewhere around, you know, when Jesus was around 2 years of age is probably when the wise men showed up. And as they came and they saw the child, the Bible says, in the house. I know our crutch scenes put the wise men right with the baby Jesus, and that's pretty and that's nice, but historically it probably wasn't that way. But still, these wise men, just looking at the star and seeing the Old Testament prophecies and reading those books, reading the parchments, and saying something powerful is going to happen. So we need to head out. We need to head out. We need to go and see what this thing is. We need to meet this king. And so they took sacrificially. They had the expense of travel, the danger of travel, and then not to mention the gold, the frankincense and myrrh that they brought as gifts to Jesus. Their finest hour, in my opinion, is when they came and saw the Christ child. They knelt to him as king and presented him sacrificial gifts after traveling all the distances that they did. And then, not to heed Herod's word, but to avoid Jerusalem on their way home so that Herod would not harm Jesus. Incredible, their finest hour. What was Jesus' finest hour? It's one thing to speak of the prophets and Mary and Joseph, the shepherd and the wise men, but what about Jesus? That's what our text is about. Our text is about Jesus' finest hour. We can speak of his birth, and his birth was important. We can speak of his resurrection, and the resurrection is vital. And yet, the death on the cross, in my opinion, was Jesus' finest hour. It was when he was willing to give everything. That's what our text talks about. He said, for this purpose, I have come to this hour. For this purpose, I've come to this hour. What was the purpose? verse 32. If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. That's my purpose. I have come to this hour, my finest hour, if you will. This signifying what death that he would die. It was the death on the cross that would make all the difference in all the world and all of history. Without the death on the cross, the birth of Jesus is meaningless. Without the death on the cross, there is no resurrection. Without the death on the cross, there is no sacrifice for sin. Without the death of the cross, we're still catching little lambs and taking them to the high priest and having him slay them so blood can be shed. Without the cross, we don't have what we have today. It was his finest hour, and we should never forget the power of the cross and Jesus dying on that cross. Amen. Little wonder that the scriptures tell us, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, speaking of the communion elements. That's why communion is the one of two sacred things that we do as the church, because the cross was his finest hour, the hour of his death, the very reason that he came, when he would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and it is finished, and the Old Testament would be fulfilled, and Jesus would give his life on the cross. His finest hour. What about us? What is our finest hour? What is your finest hour? Maybe it's when you accepted Christ as your Savior. When you said yes to the Lord, you said, I'll follow you no matter what you want me to do. Maybe that's your finest hour. I can name a lot of my not so finest hours. I was thinking this morning, what was one of your not famous finest hours? And I don't know why I thought of this, but I thought of, as a little guy in Feather Falls, California, up the Feather River before the Oroville Dam was built, being challenged to jump off a bridge into the water. And I was old enough just to be stubborn enough to say, I can do that. But instead of jumping off, I sit down on the bridge that was made of creosote-treated timbers. And as I took the dare and slid off a sliver about this long, that's what it felt like. Anyway, a sliver about that long went to the gluteus maximus. And I'm not talking about the name of a... anyway. And I hit that water, and I can't remember if that hurt or not, because what hurt was that sliver. But probably what was worse was having to have somebody get it out. It was not my finest hour. We can maybe all think of one of those moments when we did something silly and we wish we had it to do over again. But what is our finest hour? In my opinion, it is a fine hour for any believer when you lift your voice as the prophets did and speak the truth of God's word. When you have the opportunity to share your faith, when you have the opportunity to speak up for those that are innocent and those that are hurting and the weak and those who are unfortunate, I think it is a fine hour. I think it's a fine hour when you can lift your voice for truth in a world that wants anything but the truth in an appropriate way. I believe it's a fine hour when anybody who follows Jesus Christ and is asked for the reason, that the hope that lies within them, when they can share with them from a sincere heart of how important Jesus Christ is to you. I think that is a fine hour for anybody, that you are willing, like the prophets, to speak the truth in Jesus' name. Amen? I think it's a fine hour when we say yes to God's plan for our lives, even though that may be a difficult plan, even though things may happen in that plan that we would not have planned for ourselves, but we say yes to God's plan for our lives. I think it is a fine hour when we can say, Lord, my life belongs to you. It's no longer mine. And I will do whatever you say. I will go wherever you tell me to go. I will do whatever you tell me to do. I think that's a fine hour. I think it's a fine hour for believers when we trust God through a difficult time, as Mary and Joseph did. When we go through a difficult time and we don't know what we're going to do, when we fall on our face before God and we cry out to the Lord and say, God, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. When you go through a difficult time and you say, I believe, God, that you can do the miraculous, that you can help me through this, that, Lord, right now I may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but, Lord, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. That is a fine hour for every believer when they can say, yes, Lord, I will trust you even in the most difficult of circumstances. And I believe it's a fine hour, as the wise men did, when believers can say, Lord, I will sacrifice everything to obey God. Whatever it is you ask of me, I will sacrifice everything. Nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to you, Lord. Everything in my life belongs to you. And if you want it, you've got it, Lord. You just show me how to do it. You just show me what you want me to do. I think it's a wonderful and a fine hour when we sacrifice everything to obey God. Those are fine hours. And maybe you've had some of those at this point of your life, and maybe you haven't, but your finest hour is yet to come. Getting back to Herbert Lockyer writing the book, Their Finest Hour, at the age of 92. You know what he said of that book? He said, I believe that I've written the pinnacle. And he wrote about 30 books. All the women of the Bible. All the men of the Bible. All the miracles of the Bible. Those were all written by Herbert Lockyer. Took years of study and writing. But he said, I believe the greatest book that I've written is the one of Their Finest Hour. And he says, I believe that my finest hour is perhaps yet to come. And he was 92. I want to tell you, that's faith. Amen. Reminds me of our pastor who's gone to be with the Lord now, who pastored one of our churches in Vancouver. When he was 95, he laid out a 5-year plan for the church, believing that until God takes me, I'm going to stay active. Amen. What is our finest hour? Our finest hour is when we say, I trust you, Lord. I'll give you all that I have. I'll speak truth for you. I'll do whatever it takes to live for Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by reading Isaiah chapter 53. In John 12, if you read on a few other verses, Isaiah 53 is quoted by John when Jesus, or John says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It is a quote from Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53, as you know, is that wonderful messianic passage in Isaiah that prophesied not the birth of Jesus, but the death of Jesus. It is one of the most accurate depictions of crucifixion that we have in antiquity. And yet it was written 800 years before Jesus would die on the cross. And yet it is so exact. It is written before crucifixion was even known. And yet it is so accurate. And in Isaiah 53, it begins this way. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord being revealed is a statement to show the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord. He revealed his strong arm to the prophets by enabling them to speak words. He revealed his strong arm to Mary and Joseph, giving them the ability to say yes to the Lord. He revealed his strong arm to the shepherds in giving them the faith to take and go toward Bethlehem to see the king. He revealed his strong arm to the wise men to give them the wisdom and the courage to make the long trek to face Herod, then to disobey Herod, which, by the way, had his worst hour on the Christmas story, and to go and to give the Christ child gold, frankincense, and myrrh that would finance their trip to Egypt so they could be saved. He revealed the strong arm of the Lord. What is the strong arm of the Lord? I don't do it much anymore, but I used to when the kids were little. I would go, ah. Ooh, they would go, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. And I never had guns. like some of you guys. Is that what they still call them? Guns, right? But to my kids, they were... Now I show them to my grandkids and they go, ooh, 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 ooh. I said, that's right. They're babies here, but they grow up down here. Yeah. The strong arm of Papa, the strong arm of Grandpa. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? When you face your finest hour, that's when God shows his strong arm on your behalf. Amen? And helps you believe and helps you trust and helps you obey and helps you follow that star and helps you find that baby at the manger. But more, helps you find God on the cross, helps you live your life for Jesus without hesitancy. What is our finest hour? Maybe by, as Herbert Lockyer, all of our finest hour is yet to come. Will we be ready? I pray we will. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for revealing your strong arm to your people, that we might have our finest hour. As we face circumstances in our lives, we may feel as those two NASA officials. This could be the biggest disaster in our history. Help us to say the words of that flight director. I believe this will be our finest hour. And it'll be our finest hour because we trust in the strong arm of the Lord. We don't trust in our own sufficiency. We don't trust in our own wisdom. We trust in the strong arm of the Lord. Maybe someone here today is facing a difficult time. And right now they don't feel very strong. But I want them to be encouraged. And I want them to say to the Lord, I will trust you, God. I will live for you. I will testify for you. I will give to you. I will do everything in my power to honor you. And I believe you will reveal your strong arm to me so that this can be my finest hour. The hour that I trusted in the Lord and saw God come through in a powerful way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the prophets, for Mary and Joseph, for the shepherds, and for the wise men. And their example to us that we too can have a fine hour to trust God. We thank you, Lord. Now be with us as we dismiss this service. We're getting ready for other folks to come in for second service. But Lord, I thank you for those that are here this morning. I pray that you'd bless their day and help them, Lord, throughout the day. Keep remembering the finest hour, the finest hour, the finest hour, their finest hour is perhaps yet to come. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand of applause today. Can we do that? Praise God. Praise God.